This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Who's under there, I wonder? I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there, I want to talk about this endlessly with you. Who's under there, I wonder? I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there, I want to talk about this endlessly with you.
Hello, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Rahapa podcast. We're here today to talk about Season 7, Episode 5, a.k.a. the second round for the second group. I am very excited to break it all down here for you today. I am your host, Puya the Cameras and Vakili, here once more to make this happen. Now, of course, I'm never here on my own. I've got my ride or die here with me today. It is Liana the Scissors Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
Snip, snip, snip. Let's go. Wow, what a stone solid blast this episode was. I just really enjoyed myself.
Stone solid blast?
That was what one of our eliminated contestants or the eliminated contestant said at the end of the episode. What a stone solid blast. And I don't know what it means, but I really like it as a phrase.
Well, I mean, if you're going to pick it up and use it as part of your everyday, I can't stop you, I guess.
All right. Yes. Let's have a stone solid blast today.
All right. Well, it's an interesting way to describe an episode that low key was kind of a stone solid middle. This is obviously the second time we're meeting the same group. Now, we've already met a group three times. This is the first time we're meeting this group for the second time. But similar to the first group, no clue packages for this week, just a mega clue for each person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about this last week of whether or not they would do the clue packages, and I obviously they've already edited these, so there's no way that they're gonna like go back and hear that people, specifically us, did not like the fact that there were no clue
packages. I like that you think we have that kind of reach where they're ever going to know we exist.
Look, I think we're pretty powerful, but yeah, no, look, it wasn't gonna happen. Okay, I believe in us. I believe in our power, but you know, no one can go against an edited show.
No, it's going to be incredibly difficult to do so.
Yeah. Yeah. So. So really, I mean, we got this one more piece of information, which there was only one performer that I felt like it helped me narrow it down. And that was Miss Teddy. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you know, we didn't get that much more information on who the singers were. But I felt good about one of my guesses because I got it.
You did. You did get the unmasked performers. Hydra, spoiler alert, goes out this episode. And Liana, if we had vaulted guesses this year, if we did the golden year, you'd be beating me 2-0.
Okay, here's the thing, though. I would really only have the one because I recognized Penn's voice. I would not have gotten Jordan, like Mulata, because I had essentially, based on the clues, I was like, okay, I think it's a player for the Eagles. And then I just Googled like football players for the Philadelphia Eagles that can sing. And that was where I got the two options. And so anyway, so I would only be 1-0. But yes, I appreciate the sentiment.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been better than 0-0 or 1-0 loss. So,
or like 0-1,000,000, which is what it normally is.
Yeah, well, we are in the second group. Let's talk about a second Nicole today, in that Nicole Byer is the guest panelist for this episode. What did you think of Nicole Byer being on The Masked Singer here?
I mean, I love Nicole Byer. I love her podcast, Why Won't You Date Me? So I'm always happy to see her. She's been a guest judge on Drag Race a few times, which is always really fun. Maybe just once. I don't remember. Anyway, so I really like her. I felt like she was having a really great time. Did she bring the best guesses? And do I feel like she may have been fed the guess of Penn and Teller by production? Maybe. But I was happy to see her.
Yeah, I thought she was a fun addition to the panel. The only difficult part is when there's two Nicoles, but that didn't end up being a problem. So it was fine. Completely fine.
Right. It's not like it had to be Nicole B and Nicole S. We were able to handle it.
Yeah, I think so, too. All right. So let's just go through the performers. Do you have a specific order you want to go through here, or should we just go the way we go and then we just talk about the unmasked performer last?
I like that. Let's go the way we go.
The way we go. All right. Then I would like to talk about the opening act here of the night. And that was the Ringmaster. Ringmaster performs a rendition of Super Bass by Nicki Minaj. And I got to tell you, I'm a sucker for when they do a rendition of a song and make it their own. So you already knew where I was going to come in with this. I thought this was a great performance. I really liked it. I thought that the circle motifs, the circles around the place were nice. I did not like the mask on the backup dancers, but the performance, the song itself, you know, it carried its own. So I did enjoy myself.
Right. I agree with you that I like it when they have a different interpretation of a song and sort of can do a remix is not the right word. What do you call a song if somebody does it, but in a different style?
I think interpretation or rendition, right?
Yeah. Okay. So I felt like this was really cool. I felt like, gosh, she's such a good performer. And after this, I felt more confident to say that I don't think she's a country singer. And I think that last week she was sort of throwing her voice a little bit to make it feel like maybe she was a little bit more country.
Yes.
So that helped to hear a second performance. Although the mega clue, like it gave valuable information, but I think the problem is that I just don't have a solid view of who I think this person is or like a good way to narrow it down. There's not that one clue that I'm like, okay, yes, definitely this. I tried to look through the cast of Hannah Montana, not necessarily recurring like throughout the whole series recurring characters, because I know you talked about Emily Osment as being a potential option. I tried to look at someone who is maybe in for just 10 episodes or one season or two seasons or something like that.
Okay.
It didn't really go anywhere. Well, so I don't know why I'm telling you that. But I guess I tried, but I didn't make much progress.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so the mega clue was 90s. It was a guitar pick with the 90s on it. Is this the year they were born? Is this the year they got their, you know, lucky break? Or sorry, the decade where they got their lucky break? You know, to go back to the Emily of it all, born in the 90s, also did the Spy Kids movies in the 90s. So there you go. Like that's a connection, right? That's something we can look at.
Wait, when was Emily born? She's a 90s baby.
92.
Yeah, 92.
Yeah.
So I actually do think that it's someone probably who was born in the 90s. The specific verbiage of 90s chick makes me think of that Icona pop song. I love it.
Yeah, no, that's when I hear the word 90s and the word chicks put together, that's I think of that drop in that song. So I agree.
Yeah, I was like, maybe that's a subtle clue to who it is. And I don't know.
So remember when there was the driver's license clue?
Right.
And the driver's license was a San Francisco license, correct?
Yeah, well, I think it was California.
Was there illustrations on that license?
That's what I'm trying to remember, if there was a little like Golden Gate Bridge or something like that. Let me pull it up.
All right. Please pull it up, because I have an interesting thing to say if there is a bridge on it.
Okay. The Ringmaster closed the show, right?
What? When? Last week?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. All right, hold on. Oh yeah, Casey Musgraves. Oh my god, what a bad guess. Okay, Ringo's, Hannah Montana, or just Miley Cyrus on Montana on a mug. Yeah. Do you think it matters that it's on a mug?
No, I don't think the mug matters.
Okay. The X in the middle of a tic-tac-toe board.
Yeah, so the driver's license does have the bridge in the background. Okay.
It has the gold, specifically the Golden Gate Bridge.
I mean, if it's Golden State, what's the bridge? Right?
Yeah.
The point I'm trying to make is Golden Gate, GG, Gertie Giggles, Spy Kids, Emily Osment.
Okay. That sounds ridiculous, but that also fits with the type of clues that the Masked Singer likes to do. All right, look, I'm because I have also no alternative suggestion.
That's as
I'm
good as I got too. Yeah, that's as good as I got. So
that's fine. There was the little bones on the guitar pick from the mega clue this episode. Yeah. So I don't know what that means, because I was thinking, is it like dog bones? Is it a skull and crossbones? Because they but right, there's
like,
no is skull.
Like a pirate
she's
thing.
She's like a she a pirate. Is that our suggestion? I don't know.
No, but like, you know, Yarg. She could have been on, like, whoever this is could have been either in Pirates of the Caribbean or, like, I don't know, Peter Pan or something. I don't know.
Ringmaster, more like Pirate Master. Am I right?
All right. So then move on to the ridiculous guess from the judges for this lovely Ringmaster here. And Ken goes with Taylor Swift.
Oof. I feel like they're just phoning it in? Like, is this the burnout talking of like, I don't fucking know. Taylor Swift, sure, fine.
I just think that they have kind of just settled into their roles, even more so than before with season 7. This is the most Ken guess there is. I think they know, right? They know. They know they can never get Taylor Swift on this show. They know. But that's not going to stop them from guessing Taylor Swift. So it is what it
is. Yeah. It's like when you have to give an answer, but you don't know what the answer is. So you're just going to put something, even though you know there's no way it's correct. You're just trying to justify it and hoping that your teacher will look the other way.
Yeah. Well, I saw a TikTok where this guy, it was like some game show. And the question that was asked to this guy was, which Martin Scorsese movie was nominated for, like, whatever, Oscars or something? Mm-hmm. And the guy goes, movies are not my forte. I have no idea. I'm just going to shoot. All right, I'm going to go with 8 Mile. So it's like that. It's like, I don't know, singer. Okay, Taylor Swift.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like, let me name a female singer. There you
right.
go.
Yeah. All right, Leona, who do you want to go to next? Let's have you lead the way here.
Okay, I want to talk about our last performer because I feel like the Ringmaster and the teddy bear kind of go hand in hand. Or Miss Teddy, what's her name?
Miss Teddy,
yes. So to me, they go hand in hand in terms of trying to figure out who the representative from Group B is going to be in the finals, because I definitely think that it's a race between the Ringmaster and Teddy Bear. And I got to say, going into this episode, I was convinced that it was going to be the Ringmaster. I thought, yeah, for sure. Teddy Bear's great. But, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know why I walked away with last week's episode feeling that way, but I did. This episode, on the other hand, I walked away feeling like, oh, Miss Teddy Bear, whatever, is going to the finals and like it's not even close. So my brain is very confused and it's totally going to come down to next week for me of which one of these two performers is going to be the representative in the finals. I was so impressed.
Yeah, no, I think that I think there's no, you're not wildin' for this commentary, because I do think that personally, I thought Miss Teddy had the performance of the night. So
yeah,
100% is going to come down to the song choice next week and it is going to be exciting. I'm actually glad that it's not a complete walk away, because if it was already Ringmaster, this would have been the most dull middle of the show. Now there's some intrigue. It could be one or the other, and which direction we're going to go is going to be interesting to see. So this was the song Tell It to My Heart by... No, that was last week. My bad.
Yeah.
Oops.
Tell Me You Love Me by Demi Lovato.
Yes. What did you think of the song?
Oh, I mean, amazing. From the moment she started, I was so captivated. And that's the thing is also that it was only, I'm sorry, can you say it again? Miss Teddy Bear? Teddy Bear? Miss Bear?
Miss Teddy.
Okay, Miss Teddy. I'm going to write that down right now, which is crazy because Miss Teddy's on my team and I'm like 100% championing for Miss Teddy. I should learn her name. Makes sense. Okay. Oh my God. Amazing. And like I said, it was, the focus was completely on her. No backup dancers. It was just all about, I was going to say that bass, but that's wrong. She was just having the time of her life, it felt like, also, which is so hard to convey when you're in this massive costume. I could tell that she was just rocking out herself and I was having a great time right alongside her.
Yeah, I felt completely great about everything we got from Miss Teddy. Miss Teddy was in her element 100%. Miss Teddy got a full standing ovation at the end of this performance, and it's not a shock to me whatsoever. I thought Miss Teddy definitely brought the house down. And I think that they're going to be a formidable rival for Ringmaster come next week.
I think so, too. My personal rooting interest is, I think, for Miss Teddy. And not just because she's on my draft team. I was just, oh my God, I'm almost speechless. I just loved this performance so much. And I can't wait to see what she's going to do next week.
I'm curious because I think Miss Teddy, oh my God, what would you say? Because Miss Teddy said that they're going to slow things down a little this week. And they definitely did. I think this is their element. I think they got to stick to this.
This was a fabulous song choice for her. I really felt like it just allowed her to play with so many different vocal runs and was able to interpret it. She packed in the same way that I felt like Firefly can pack a lot of her own interpretation into a song. Mm-hmm. I think Miss Teddy did exactly the same thing. And I don't know.
Because last week, Ringmaster did The Climb by Miley Cyrus. And I thought that was better for Ringmaster. So If they both go slow this upcoming week, it'll be very interesting to see how they split the middle.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be very interesting. And you and I were talking about this before we got on the pod, but the fact that there's the good, the bad, and the cuddly. And
yes.
Miss Teddy is a cuddly, and we already have a good.
If Miss Teddy makes it, I've completely wrecked my shot of having two finalists, I think, because all you got to do is pick the good team bad singer next week or 2 weeks from now. And you are probably in the front seat. I don't want to jinx it, man.
But I am cautiously optimistic about Miss Teddy making it to the finals. And can we talk about the clues?
You mean the clue and yes.
Yeah, right. Sorry, I should drop the S there. There's no plural. Okay. So do you remember how last week we talked about it potentially being Loretta Devine, right? She was in Dreamgirls. Yes. She's got the gospel angle, all that. Okay, so this clue was super helpful because from what I could Google and from what I understand, Loretta Devine does not have a Grammy. So making the assumption that the mega clue is a Grammy and is actually a award Grammy, not like,
a grandmother.
Yes, which was my first thought. So it can't be Loretta Devine. So what I did is I went to the Dreamgirls Wikipedia page. Okay. You know, got it. And I opened up every single tab from sort of the main, like, three cast members from the Broadway show, the US tour, as well as the 2001 concert. I sort of eliminated the, like, 2009, 2016, just based on, I do believe that this person is a little bit older, more mature, sorry, in their voice. And I went through and I looked for Grammys. I found three people that all have Grammys. So one is Audra McDonald, who, like, super famous, or at least, like, I am, as a lay person, am familiar with her. She's definitely a possibility. She's had to do a ton of different things. She's been on TV. She was in Private Practice. She was in The Good Wife, but she's also been on Broadway. She has a Grammy Award for Best Classical Album, a Grammy Award for Best Opera Recording. So she definitely fits the bill for Miss Teddy. The other two people that I found, though, both have gospel-like credits to them. So the first one is Heather Headley. She is a musician. She won a Tony Award. She also won a Grammy for Best Contemporary R&B Gospel Album. But she also has been on TV. So again, it fits with the whole like metamorphosis, having to kind of change and do what you gotta do to stay relevant, that kind of thing. She is my current top guest compared to Audra, but it's like an option. The last one that I have is Jennifer Holliday, who also won a Grammy and a Tony, I think. Also, she also has some gospel to her, like, you know, gospel performances and that kind of stuff. So she's definitely on my radar, but I think it's Heather. That's my guess. That's okay. What I'm going with.
You're going with Heather? All right, I'll go with Jennifer Holliday.
Okay. All right.
There we go.
So yeah, I think it's one of the two of them, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have anything else to add there because honestly, I don't think I could. So I'm glad that you did the running there did the heavy lifting, because I do think that that's probably the direction we should be looking at, given that we didn't get any more clues to look elsewhere. So
right. I mean, the problem that this entire theory rests on is the Dreamgirls clue. And the fact that I actually thought it could be Loretta Devine, but then why would they give us Loretta Devine guess?
Was there a dream girl clue, or did we deduce that from, oh, it's all in the clouds? Like, isn't that how we got there?
Wait, hold on. Oh, no.
That's how, because I was like, hey, listen.
I spent so much time thinking that there was a dream girl's clue.
Well, listen, we'll find out next week we might not, if Miss Teddy makes it to the, well, we'll see more. We saw clue packages in the third round, right?
We did see clue packages in the third round.
So we'll get a better idea.
Yeah, right. I mean, even if she gets eliminated, we'll at least have a little bit of time to try to guess. Okay, Santa stuffed animal, pillow fights, constantly reinventing themselves, a trash bag, laughing face emoji on a director's chair, butterfly and metamorphosis. All right, I only checked like two clues, and one of them I think I made up in my brain. All right, never mind. Scrap it. I got nothing.
All right. Well, let us just move on then. How about that?
Yeah.
Sad. Okay. Why are you sad?
Because I thought I had something.
You could still have something. Weirder things have happened on The Masked Singer. We don't know.
I suppose.
This is how it feels, though. When you get a couple right, you're like, oh, I'm so good. And then if you don't know it, it's frustrating.
Well, that's the problem. Is like I said, it was completely based on the fact that it has to be someone who was in Dreamgirls at one point in time.
Right.
And now knowing that it was really just the clouds that was the clue, that doesn't really help. All right. Well, whatever.
You just asked me earlier if the mug was a clue to the Miley Cyrus on Montana.
Like, maybe she likes to drink tea.
Is she British? Okay. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk about the armadillo and Hydra.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on The Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
All right, so let's talk about Armadillo next here. Armadillo, I'm sorry, Armadillo, because you're destined for third place at this point, and it's not pretty.
Yeah. I mean, like, let's be real. That's how we felt last time as well with the other group, that there were clearly two contenders and a very obvious third place person.
I mean, listen, here's the truth of it all. I still think that Armadillo and Hydra should have been beneath Lemur. So,
yeah, I wonder. Yeah, I wonder if it was like a contract thing. Armadillo's got nothing going on.
I mean, yeah. OK, so the Armadillo performs, right? And the Armadillo performs, I Fought the Law.
Mm-hmm.
OK. And this performance, I did enjoy that it started with like a press conference at a protest vibes that was given off. I did like that motif for the performance. It was definitely higher energy. Armadillo's leaning on the crowd over there, working the crowd. But ultimately, I feel like as unfortunate as it is, I don't think the Armadillo is going to have a lot of standing here. And they've pretty much given us everything they possibly could.
Right. I would agree with that. I also felt like that was the case last week as well. But you know what? They're there. They're having a good time. They're kicking. They're falling over from kicking so much, which I will say, I want to give props to the Masked Singer for not making that so dramatic, because they could have them, and Drag Race does this all the time. Whenever a girl falls down, it's like, and they do a slow-mo and there's a sound that's mm-hmm. like, da-da-da, and they, you know, they kept the music going. The backup dancers picked them back up. You know, we just sort of moved along. We didn't really address it. Didn't make a big deal out of it. So props to the Masked Singer for doing that. Yeah, it was fine. I like the explosion things also.
What explosion?
That was cool. The sparkles to hit the pieces of the song. I was like, dun, dun, dun.
No, that I did enjoy as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that was so cool.
The mega clue was a set of bedazzled keys that were actually keys to a motorcycle.
Okay. So based on nothing but your guess from last week.
Ooh, tell me more.
Okay, so you guessed Dog the Bounty Hunter, right?
I did guess Dog the Bounty Hunter. Okay. Well, I don't want to say guess like I said it with my full chest. I just threw it out there. Like, I don't even remember what the reason was. Was it a Beefcake and something else, right?
Yes, it was. If I remember correctly, it was Beefcake as well as the hot dogs. Is that why?
Yes.
Dogs, that's hot dog, the mm-hmm. bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
hog? You know, motorcycle can be a hog, dog, the bounty hunter. Yes.
Okay. Right. So I went to the Nexus of Information, of course, my favorite Wikipedia. It's Control F motorcycle. And this is the only search of motorcycle that I found, or like the only search result for motorcycle I found on his Wikipedia page, but it's kind of crazy. So on April, do you want to hear the story?
You've started.
I'm gonna tell it anyway.
Yeah,
I'm gonna tell it anyway. I don't care what your answer is. Okay.
Wow.
On April 25th. I know. I mean, I care, but like, I don't really care. On April 21st, 2009, during the filming of season 6, Chapman, that's Dog the Bounty Hunter, was allegedly shot at with a handgun while his crew, along with bail bondsman Bobby Brown, which is a mouthful, were attempting to arrest a fugitive in Colorado Springs, blah, blah, blah. The suspect escaped on a motorcycle and was captured by Chapman about 6 hours later.
That's
it. Is that
it.
Crazy?
That's the link?
Okay. Well, he got shot at during the filming of the show.
Well, that's bad, of course. Bail bondsman Bobby Brown.
Yeah, bail bondsman Bobby Brown. The thing is that that story is actually in contrast to the evidence that was shown in A&E's airing of the episode, apparently. But according to Chapman's website and TMZ, there were like certain things, like the suspect Huang Nguyen was arrested and charged with attempted murder related to a shooting attempt on Chapman and the Chapman family. But then I guess the district attorney dropped the charges. It was like a whole thing. Anyway, it sounds very controversial. That being said, it was the suspect who rode the motorcycle, not necessarily Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Listen, I may be like Mandela affecting myself here, but I could picture him riding a Harley.
He just looks like the kind of guy who would ride a Harley. Oh, yeah. He's part of like a motorcycle gang. Never mind.
Okay. Well, yeah, okay. I don't know how this was the only thing you saw, but okay.
Okay. I made the mistake of only trusting Wikipedia. I should have just straight up Googled it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think you made the right choice. You know, you never want to, just in case. Yeah.
I was in, when I was in a motorcycle gang, I was made the sergeant of arms. There's an interview on CNN, Dog the Bounty Hunter on biker gangs. It's a bond. Okay. I know that you just threw it out there because hot dog, bail bonds, Bobby Brown, but I really do feel like this could be correct.
Listen, if it's right, we're tied 1-1. So deal with that.
I shouldn't have given you the explanation. I should have just taken the 2-0 and moved on.
You learn, you live and you learn, you know, and I will know better than to correct me and
that's right.
Remove a point from yourself.
Never be honest. Got it.
Well, that's not the takeaway, but okay. That's not what I meant.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the judges, okay. The beloved judges, I'm going to read the Nicole's guesses. Okay. Nicole Scherzinger guessed Gary Busey.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole Byer guessed Jay Leno.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I don't know much about Jay Leno, but I certainly did not know that Jay Leno had any link to bikes.
To motorcycles?
That's the one.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Look, they're both wrong, so we can just move on.
Move on. All right, yeah. Fine.
Jay Leno, really?
Hey, why are you scolding me? I didn't make the guess. I just reported on it.
I'm not scolding.
Okay.
I think it's a bad guess. I'm just saying what I'm saying.
Well, you
people
you
still
know.
Say that. I'm saying what I'm saying. I'm just saying what I'm saying.
No.
No, people don't say that anymore.
No, people say I said what I said.
I said what I said. I'm just saying what I'm saying.
Say what you want to say about the Hydra. Okay, let's. How about that? Say that.
Dope. Dab.
What is wrong with you?
I did a dab.
No, you. All right, so the Hydra's next. Liana, what do you have to say about the Hydra here?
Okay, did you do your homework? Did you listen to Mr. Tambourine Man?
Of course I didn't.
Okay. This was better than that.
Oh, God.
That being said.
Oh, God.
You know, it was a lot of talking and not a lot of singing. But that, look, I had a great time, though. I laughed throughout the whole thing. I also felt like they were trying hard to throw in a third voice. Even though I felt pretty confident about my Penn and Teller guess, I was actually second guessing myself a little bit. Because is that a third voice? So props to Penn and Teller, or I guess Teller, I think, for doing that third voice. You had the improvisation, all that kind of thing. I also liked that Penn was trying to move his foot to show that you could have some type of movement within the costume. I don't know. It was so silly. It was funny. I liked it. I mean, it wasn't good singing, but I had a fun time.
Yeah. I mean, let's be clear. I picked them because I thought it could be... Steve Martin, and I was wrong. So that's fine. Yeah, it was fine. I think what I liked most about this was the bow ties that they added to the Hydra. I thought were very, very nice touch. I did like that.
Yeah, those were really cute. I wonder if that was a situation where they thought it would be too obvious, maybe, to give them bow ties. Why do I associate bow ties with magicians? Is that a real thing, or am I making that up?
I think you're making that. Bow ties are not exclusive. I can't think of a magician with a bow tie, to be honest.
I feel like it's a bow tie and then it spins. Is that a clown or a magician?
What are you? What?
You know what I'm saying? The bow tie that spins. Spinning bow tie. Spinning
bow tie. Yeah, I don't know. Google it.
Yeah. Novelty, men's novelty spinning bow ties.
Okay, so they exist, but who wears them?
Magicians.
Is that a thing? That's something that fed your confirmation bias was the bow ties?
Well, I'm just saying now that it Okay, it did at the time, but now I'm questioning my association with magicians and spinning bow ties.
Yeah, that is a...
Do clowns have spinning bow ties?
I feel like, you know, anyone can have a spinning bow tie if they want. It's not a thing where it's exclusive to the profession.
Oh, I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, be empowered. Wear your spinning bow tie to
work. I would picture more clowns wearing a bow tie than magicians.
No, clowns have red noses.
They can have both. They're not put on the same part of the body.
All right. Well, maybe the listeners can weigh in and help us.
I would love that. Let us know who is more likely to wear a bow tie, clowns or magicians.
We could put out a poll.
We could put out a poll, but I'd rather the listeners add us and let us know their thoughts.
Can I put out a poll or no?
I said what I said.
Okay. I won't then.
All righty. So the other thing I did like about the Hydra's performance is that the background, the motif, kind of looked like Doctor Strange's sanctum. It was like an old house type looking thing. Mm-hmm. I liked that quite a bit. That was a nice touch too. Notice I'm not speaking about the singing all that much because I didn't think there was a lot there to speak on.
Right. Specifically the singing because there was none. But yeah. Yes, I get that. I liked the spinning chessboard floor kind of thing because obviously the Hydra can't really move, but it was cool to have that element of motion for the, you know, for the floor.
I agree. Cool. I thought that was a nice touch as well.
The other thing that I noticed is, so when one team member finishes, they usually show the remaining team members in like the lower third on the far right. And I couldn't get over every time they did it for the Hydra because Team Bad is the Cobra person who's still left and the Jack in the Box, but it's just the box.
Yeah, I forgot. I was like, oh, they just got one. They got one left. And it took me like till the end of the episode. That's Jack in the Box is in there.
Yeah. So it's like one person cheering and then just a box. Do you think that the Jack in the Box is cheering inside there? I don't know. We can't tell. It's a shut box. There's nothing in it.
Nothing in it. I think the Jack in the box is not in the box. Yeah.
It's just an empty. I'm very curious. I mean, we got what, 2 weeks from now to find out. Jack in the Box,
but yeah,
we'll find out. Okay.
Yeah, so we'll see where Jack in the Box lies.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. The judges, let's see. So the judges looked at this and Robin Thicke decided, I don't know where, how, that this is Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the creators of South Park. Okay.
Oof.
And also, Jenny said, hey, we had puppets once or Muppets. Why not go down that route again? This is Bert and Ernie.
Apart from the voices being very obviously not Bert and Ernie, I can't believe I'm about to say this. I wasn't 100% mad at the guest because it could make sense to have like a costume that big would need the puppeteers to be inside it. And then they could have the little puppet heads sticking up. I thought conceptually it could be correct, but the voices, I mean, come on, like it's not Bert and Ernie.
Right. Yeah. That was not definitely not the case there, but Gilbert Gottfried did send a message for Hydra. So
yeah,
that was done.
We need to keep track of how many times someone gets a video and goes home versus how many times someone gets a video and doesn't go home.
I'd have to go back and look through my notes, but I think we're 2-2 right now. I think twice it's not been in a limb, twice it has been in a limb.
Right, because I am so used to making the association with you get a video, you go home. But now I think it's just turning into confirmation bias because we've for sure seen it in the past. We get a video, you don't.
We saw it. I think we saw it last week or episode 3, and then they didn't. I think Firefly got one and didn't leave. So,
yeah, I want to know the stats on that. I think that would be so very interesting.
The next thing I wanted to ask you, Liana, because you usually are the one who goes checking over on the TMZ website. They tell us that someone almost quit 2 days before filming one of the costumes. They said, find out who on TMZ. I did not look it up. Oh, you have that information for us.
You best believe I Googled TMZ Massinger as soon as I saw that little update pop up. So here's the thing. It's a 100% blue ball situation. They don't tell you who it was.
You're kidding. What do they say then?
I'm not kidding. Okay, so here's what they say. The Masked Singer could have been a massive mess. TMZ learned one of the biggest contestants almost dropped out 48 hours before the season. Okay, we get it. And then they're like, our sources tell us no contestant has ever threatened to quit so close to the start of the season. So everyone was caught off guard and without a backup plan. Blah, blah, blah. Basically, execs of the show would have to revamp the season. Blah, blah, blah. We learned that there are a number. Okay, blah, blah, whatever, blah, 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 blah. We know what you're thinking, but this was not a case of stage fright. We're told this particular contestant is no stranger to live performances on stage, but the giant costume completely threw them off. That's about it. The only other information that we get of who it is, that turns out the contestant ended up being a really strong performer, and we're told they have the potential to win it all.
Oh.
Do you think it's Miss Teddy?
It could be Miss Teddy.
Ringmaster?
I don't think Ringmaster's costume's not that big. If they were intimidated by the size of the costume, I don't know. But isn't this a bunch of nonsense? Because didn't we find out the piglet, Nick Lachey, was brought onto the show very late as a replacement or something?
I don't know. I got no idea. The one other piece of information that I wanted to add is that apparently they sent flowers or something to the contestant and did damage control.
Yeah, see, Nick Lachey joined the Masked Singer last minute. He joined four days before the show.
Well, we've had other contestants who have joined just a few days before the show as well. So it's not just him, but I don't know. Maybe that's 4 days versus 48 hours.
That's just double. That's just 2 days more. That's not a lot. Yeah.
Well, double the amount of time.
But Nick Lachey joined 4 days before filming. This person threatened to quit 2 days before filming.
Okay, I guess. I don't know.
It doesn't matter. It's fine. It's a TMZ article. Never should be taken seriously. We should just move on.
I was so mad when they didn't tell us. But then I was like, oh, well, it's got to be Hydra, obviously, because that's why. So then I thought I was going to be spoiled because it's like the big costume this season. You know what I mean? So when they said it was, oh, it's a big costume issue. Yeah, it was so annoying. It was really dumb. It was stupid. They got me, though. I did click on
that.
Well,
I want to know if you think this is annoying. We go to find out who the bottom two are for the duel. And I knew that if it was anyone but Armadillo and Hydra, I was going to come into this podcast very angry, even though I knew the person that would be Ringmaster or Miss Teddy would be safe. It was not. It was Armadillo versus the Hydra. And they both do a performance. Armadillo sings Walkin' the Dog by Rufus Thomas. They did fine. And then Hydra did Two Princes by Spin Doctors, and I was ready for them to leave. Like, that was not good.
Okay, sorry. Just quickly before, because I don't want to lose it in my notes. Before I think it was during the Hydra's solo performance, I didn't notice it in the duel necessarily, but the cheers for Hydra, just, and this is completely because we just watched all the Marvel movies, but it just, like, I was like, hail Hydra, because it's like a Marvel thing. So I thought of that. It was a thought in my head, and I decided to share it with you now and the listeners. So hail Hydra. Yeah. Okay, so the duel. Okay, Spin Doctors was not the song, or not the, like, Two Princes by Spin Doctors was not the song that I expected from the Hydra at all whatsoever. It just made me laugh, to be honest, because it was so bad, but also enjoyable because it was so silly and stupid. But, you know, it's not top tier singing.
Definitely not top tier singing, no. Yeah. Yeah, so that happens, and then they decide who's going to stay. It's not going to be Hydra. Spoiler alert. Hydra's out. Okay. The final guess is Robin sticks to his South Park guess. Nicole Scherzinger guesses Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. Ken guesses Will Arnett and Zach Galifianakis. Jenny sticks to Bert and Ernie. And then Nicole Byer, like you mentioned earlier, does guess Penn and Teller. Okay. So then everyone yells, take it off, as they do. And they initially remove the middle head, and there's like a little rabbit that's out of a hat in the middle head. Mm-hmm. So, you know, rabbit out of a hat, magician type stuff. It's no spinning bow tie, but I got that reference. Okay.
Now that definitely magicians. I do not associate clowns with rabbits.
No, so, definitely not. Definitely not.
Got that one. Nailed it.
Yeah. All right. And that's it. That's Penn and Teller come out. They seem excited to be there. And then they end it with a song. And that's the episode, Liana.
Okay. So a few things. I saw an article about the costume. And apparently it was so big and so complicated that Penn and Teller had to come out on stage to be put inside the costume. Like, they had to move the costume separately from the contestants being inside, which is why you see that they're on like wheelie things. Like during the duel, they were on that sort of cart thing that they got wheeled around on. And also during the reveal, once they get eliminated, it took like 30 minutes for them to get out of the costume disassemble it. And so they just had to, you know, sort of edit the whole thing together to make it seem like take it off.
That is a lot. I didn't realize how big the costume was until we had the side by side with the armadillo, and it's like double the size of the armadillo. It was massive.
Yeah. That, and because it has the lights and the smoke that comes out of the mouth of the heads and all of that, there's all of this other sort of intricate, you know, wiring, whatever, to make all of that work as well. So yeah, I mean, obviously it's a very intense, very cool costume, but that's why we saw Penn barely be able to move his foot up and down.
Barely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the other thing is the Teller covering his mouth with a fan. I thought that was really cute. And when Penn said, some people can recognize my voice, like me, that's me. I'm some people because I hear you on those commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the shark was the clue to them being in Sharknado, which I should have gotten. And I like felt so stupid for missing that. And then, of course, Penn closes with, wow, what a stone solid blast.
And what a stone solid blast this podcast was. Now, I noticed these are like the shortest podcasts we've done in the history of the Masked Singer podcast. We're 45 minutes here right now, and we're about to wrap up. But when they don't give us clue packages, and when they give us the same performers 2 weeks in a row, 3 weeks in a row, this is what happens, unfortunately.
I feel like we are still able to make some progress with our guesses. I feel good that Dog the Bounty Hunter is one. I felt like this week, for some reason, confirmed it for me. We got Penn and Teller correct, which is great. Ringmaster, no clue. I don't know. And then Miss Teddy, I thought I had a guess, but I'm probably wrong.
Right. Yeah.
So, success. What else do you want to talk about?
Well, Liana, let the people know what you're up to and what else you have going on aside from the Masked Singer podcast.
Yes. Well, the Masked Singer podcast is short. Don't worry. You can check out my beautiful voice on the RHAPB&B talking about Survivor. I'm super excited for this week because we're going to have special guest Peridium join Mike Bloom and I. Peridium makes YouTube videos. He's also a frequent Goose Goose Duck Among Us player. So I'm really looking forward to see what he has to say on this season so far. And also, the Drag Race season is somehow coming to a close. We're down to our top five, which is pretty, I don't know, felt like it came out of nowhere somehow. So both Beth, Amon, and myself will all be together to talk about the final, what we believe to be final five into final four, but we'll see. We joked that we had only one contestant eliminated in March, and we had two eliminated in April, in the first day of April. So you never know with this season.
That's wild. I still can't believe that only one person went out in a whole month of a show with no breaks.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. One person was eliminated in the month of March, and two people were eliminated one day into the month of April. That's wild.
So funny.
Yeah.
Well, they keep trying new things over there.
They do be.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, people can find me over on Twitter at Puyism. Let us know, clowns or magicians. Who wears a bow tie more? Who do you associate bow ties with more, I guess? And then you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I do stream there 3-4 times a week. Come say hi. It's always appreciated. 90 Day Fiance, we had Gandia on the podcast with us this week to talk about the finale and part one of the tell-all. It was a big experience. It was a good time. Check that out. And also, I've got the finale of Bel Air with Chappelle done and dusted over on the Post Show Recaps Network. I'm going to miss podcasting with Chappelle, but we did have a fun time covering that. So definitely check that out if you are watching the show. It is worth your time. And then if Big Brother decides they're going to give me something good to talk about from Thursday nights, I'll be doing live feed updates with Taryn Friday mornings. It's always a good time when I have stuff, when there's nothing to talk about. I've just had too much coffee the night before, not enough sleep, and I'm not feeling my greatest. But we move. It'll all be good. Fingers crossed. That brings us to the end of this podcast. We hope you had a good time with us. Please leave a rating and review if you were interested. robiswebsite.com/MassSinger, MASKEDSINGER. Let us know what you think. Any feedback is appreciated. Help people find the podcast. And we're trying our best to still become the number one Mass Singer podcast. It's all about beating the official Mass Singer podcast. That's what we're here for. We'll unmask you next week alongside two other contestants getting unmasked for group two. But until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there?